Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
Hello and welcome back to the Dropship Podcast for another Freedom Friday episode. And today I'm joined by a longtime friend of mine and us here at the Dropship Podcast, Isaac Smith. Hey, Isaac, how you doing, man?
Doing great. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's awesome to have you on, dude. So Isaac, as our guests are here on Freedom Fridays, is a high-ticket dropshipping business owner. That's where he started in online business, but his journey took some interesting turns, which I think is I'm really digging getting into this because I think it's going to open people's eyes to where high ticket dropshipping can take them. Because now, obviously, I know your story, and it's a really unusual one. It's kind of like completely out of the box, which is fantastic.
That's so funny. I don't think of it in those terms usually.
Oh, you know, I know.
But really, yeah. Who would have ever imagined? I would have never imagined I'd be doing what I am now if you would have told me.
Yeah,
it's kind of ridiculous.
Like years ago. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Look, we're going to dive into that. But I was thinking before we jumped on here, I was thinking about what am I going to talk to Isaac about, and I realized there was a question. And I know we've talked about this stuff before and we've talked lots in the past, obviously, but I didn't know the answer to this question. And so I'm gonna start us off here, which is why high-ticket dropshipping? Like, how did that even happen for you? I mean, we're talking now, what, maybe is that like 7.5, 8 years ago or something like that you started out?
2014 is when I actually started doing the work. And before that, it was just years of realizing I don't really like what I'm doing in my 9-to-5 job, and listening to podcasts, listening to things like Pat Flynn's podcast, and like hearing all types of different surprising business. Like, I didn't know this world existed. Like, what? This guy put up a website for security guards and that's making him money? Like, are you kidding me? And the other thing that was cool that I liked about Pat was, I'm assuming most people know Pat Flynn, Smart Passive Income, but in case you don't, you can check it out. But he used to be an architect. And that's what I was while I was listening to these episodes. And so I thought, oh yeah, this guy is kind of like me. And he went and did these things. But, you know, like a website for security guards and like these other weird things that he was talking about and his guests would talk about. Like, I think, okay, that's cool, I guess, but I'm going to do something like that. That just, I mean, it made no sense to me. And so then I was thinking, well, what else could I do? And then I'd listen to, podcasts about e-commerce. And I thought, okay, well, e-commerce was cool. I stumbled upon Andrew Uderian. I don't even know. I guess it was called, what is his podcast called?
E-commerce Fuel?
Yeah. Was it called that back then? I'm not even sure.
Yeah, I want to say maybe, but maybe not.
Yeah, and he was talking about drop shipping. And I think he even had a free PDF guide or something like that tells you like step by step how to do this thing. And I thought, okay, somebody gives me money and I send them something. That makes a lot more sense than these weirdo websites that's like, you make money how?
Yeah.
So awesome. I guess that was the beginning of high ticket drop shipping for me. And it was called drop shipping back then. Nobody said high ticket.
Yeah.
This nonsense of high ticket low ticket was not in existence.
No. Like, I mean, this, the way that we do it, and the way that you, because I mean, we started off at around the same time. I mean, that's kind of, for a long time, that was the only type of dropshipping I knew about, really. It wasn't mm-hmm. really, I think those terminologies didn't really come about too much until the whole AliExpress dropshipping thing kind of took off, which was after we started.
Sometime around 2016 or something.
Yeah, 2015.
At least a couple years after
Something
we got
like that.
Going.
Yeah, cool. So you're an architect, which to most people would think that's, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think too, that must be a pretty okay job. Right. If I think of architects, and once again, you can tell me I'm wrong here. I think of dudes that make a bit of money. Right.
That's what everybody says. They all say, oh, that must be so great. It's so much, so exciting. And you must make a lot of money. And it's not true. It's just what we hear about. In fact, you know, if you are an architect, at least in the States, as far as I know, everybody has a master's degree. I don't know anybody who can make it through without it and get hired and licensed and all of that. So that's a lot of education. You know, like if you compare comparable industries, like engineers, for example, engineers make quite a bit more than architects do, like by kind of a lot. To be an architect, you have to be super passionate, which I was, but you have to be so passionate that you're willing to forgive all of the crap that comes along with it, which is all of the regulatory, just historic review boards and drawing and redrawing the same set of stairs 16 times for 6 months. Wow. Spending hours and hours, and no, that's not quite right. We want it to be a little bit more like this. And I'm like, but it is like that. Like, so that's what architecture is for me. I mean, I'm exaggerating a little, but you know, they're also very, it can be a very toxic kind of environment. The culture is very like, you sacrifice your life for this. And so I really enjoyed a lot about architecture, but I wasn't into that kind of a culture lifestyle thing. And you just can't be an architect if you're not gonna put up with the lifestyle work balance question. Yeah, maybe some people are in a better situation. Okay. Actually, my last job, I had three jobs in architecture. My last one was great, and I almost never worked more than 45 hours a week. So I'm kind of disproving my argument here, but it is a, you know, if there are any architects listening, they'll understand for sure.
Yeah, cool. And so is that really the lifestyle element, is that kind of really what drove you to be thinking about something else or starting to listen to those podcasts and exploring the options? Was that kind of, because when I think back to it, that was really what got me started down that path. Because I mean, I started in a similar way as well, like just doing a bit of research, listening to this, reading that, and just feeling like that there was something not quite right.
Yeah, that's, you
know, it. Not quite right with life.
Right here.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. So I had my first job with this really small firm, and it was me and the boss, just two of us for most of the time. Sometimes we had one or two others. And, you know, there are some things that really bothered me, you know, when you're working one-on-one really closely with someone. So I thought after a couple of years, I just got to get out of here. Like, this is just not the right environment. Maybe I'll go get another job in a different firm and that'll be better. So I did. And, you know, it was good and then it wasn't, you know, and that was the place that was really toxic. I sometimes would have like 90 hour work weeks, not exaggerating at all. Wow. I think 92 was my record. I would spend like, I think I also had a record of being in the office without going outside for, I think, 36 hours. straight one day. Well, I guess that's 2 days. So it, and like just really kind of venomous environment. And so I thought, holy crap, I got to get out of here. And, but it was during the financial crisis. So I got that job in 2008 because my previous boss was like, I don't think I'm going to be able to pay you for a while. You should look for something else. So 2008, I got this other job, that lasted for a couple of years. And, but you know, I spent a year looking for another job after that, but architecture was just really hammered by the economy. And, so eventually I found a third job and I stayed there for 4 years. It was the most perfect, wonderful, wonderful architecture firm you could imagine. Nice people. They didn't make me work super hard. Interesting projects. So by all accounts, I should have been really happy. But yet a few years in, I would be walking home, and like I would be kind of screaming on the inside. And like, I remember the words that I put, I don't know if I told anybody this, but I felt the best way to describe it was, the building is burning. Why isn't anybody pulling the fire alarm? That's the way I could describe how I felt at that time. Even though, by all means, everything was great. So I just discovered I hate asking for time off. I hate asking for permission to spend an extra hour, something, I'm not cut out for that.
Yeah, it's so interesting. So many people I talk to, myself included, like it's that thing that like what when you talk to them about, okay, so, and a lot of people were, fairly comfortable. I mean, in a lot of ways I was one before I started, but there's just like something there. It's kind of like an itch, a niggle in your brain, and you're just like, there's something's not right with my life. You're like, there's just something wrong here. And you're kind of driven at some point, it just clicks and you're like, no, I've got to do something about this. There's got to be an alternative, right? I've got to start looking for it. And I think a lot of people think when they think of entrepreneurship or people who go out and start businesses that it's, they're driven by money or they want to make a lot of money and that sort of thing. But so many people I talk to, and I'm betting a lot of people listening to this right now, it's not really necessarily about the money. It's more about finding something, freedom. Something better in it. Freedom, control, more time, a better lifestyle. There's different ways different terminology you can use to sort of present that. And it's not really about making, millions and millions of dollars or, fast cars, private jets, all that sort of thing. It's more just about, finding a better quality of life sort of thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's super interesting to hear you talk through that. Because I hear you talk through that and I go, that's exactly how I felt back then when I started. Like different scenario, but it was exactly the same. That feeling that something wasn't right and I've got to do something about it. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you can go like I'm the type of person I have to go all in once that clicks. I just I did spend about a year trying to build up my business while working. But then I just like, no, I got to quit everything. We got to sell our condo. We got to sell our stuff. We got to move across the country. We got to move in with my parents. Like somehow I convinced my wife to do all of that. just got to do it. That's how I felt.
Yeah. Cool. So obviously 2014, around then you started building your business. What did that look like for you? What was your early experience of drop shipping?
Oh my gosh. Exciting. super. Yeah. Like I would like while I was working, I would be up until 1 a.m. every night doing the work on my store website stuff. It was really exciting. And then trying to rush out of the office while you're trying to take those first calls, like, oh my gosh, the phone is actually ringing. Somebody wants something. that whole thing that lasted for a while. That was exciting. Up after I left, you know, lots of ups and downs. I basically promised my wife riches in order to move out. I still haven't given them to her 7 years later. But you know, what is the definition of all of that? But ups and downs, man. Like wins, failures, successes, you know, just like not at all what I would have expected, but it's been an adventure. And very, very exciting path.
Do you remember your first sale?
Of course I do.
Yeah, this is a question I love to ask. Where were you? What were you doing when you got that first sale come through?
So, okay, I have a little story here. So I was talking about being in the office, trying to rush out to get a phone call. And then where do you go and have this call with the customer? On this loud, busy street? Do you find a cafe somewhere? Like, so there was no place nearby. So my office was on this busy street and they just had opened up a co-working space directly across the street up on like the third floor of this commercial building. And so I rented, you know, I bought a membership or whatever. So I would go up there during my lunch breaks and work away on my little laptop that I would bring with me. And what was so weird is I could sit, sometimes I had to sit at the window because there were no other seats, and I would look straight out directly into my boss's office and see him sitting facing me on the window. But he's an architect and he's bent over these drawings. You know, I'm like, I'm kind of hoping he doesn't see me. You know. And so I think I was there at when the first sale started to come in. I think there was a problem with checkout or something, and I had to run over there, use one of their telephone booth padded room things to call the customer and say, "Hey, do you need any help?" And so he's like, "Oh yeah, something about the credit card. Yeah, I'll make the purchase right now." So then I left and went back to the office, and I got that Shopify cha-ching on my phone. And I was like, yes. And I was just like kind of jumping around. And my office was in this very old Washington, D.C. kind of walk-up old townhouse converted into offices. So it's like old stair, rickety stairs, kind of not like broken down, but just old stairs, you know? Yeah. And so I was like leaping, and I was running up the stairs, and I slammed my hip on the corner of the post so hard, like unbelievably hard. And that there's a bruise that was there for like a good couple of months from that.
Wow.
I think. But like, so then I walked slowly up the stairs, but yeah, that was a very, very exciting moment. I made like no money on that sale, of course.
Not unusual for your first sale. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I was the same on my first sale. I love that. Even sort of getting on to 8 years later, you never forget that. That moment. And what did that mean for you? Like in your head, like what? How did that sort of change the self talk or the way you felt about this adventure that you've gone on?
Well, I think it took me 5 months to really like to choose a niche, to build the website, get the suppliers, load the products, like all that stuff. So it was like, this actually works. You know, somebody is actually going to give me money. Like, that's awesome. Maybe this could really be something big. That store didn't end up being something big. I found out a year later, but you know, it was the start.
I just want to jump in here real quick and say, if you're loving this show, the number one thing you can do to help us right now is to smash that subscribe or follow button and leave us a review. It really does help us to grow this show and reach more people. And you can do it right now while you're listening. And also, if you've got a friend or two that you know should be listening to this show, make sure you share it with them or just send them to dropshippodcast.com. We'd love to have them join us as well.
And real quick, I've got two additional dropshipping resources that we would love to share with you. The first is our free dropshipping Facebook group called The Dropship Tribe. It's all about high-ticket dropshipping, and you can learn a ton in there. All you need to do is jump onto Facebook and search The Dropship Tribe, or go to facebook.com/groups/dropshiptribe and hit the join button. Now, if you're loving the Dropship Podcast and you want more, we actually have a members-only version of this show where we go even deeper into high-ticket dropshipping. We do question and answers with our members, website reviews, teardowns, and a whole bunch of other fun stuff. It's just $5 an episode, which is like a cup of coffee. And as a bonus, you get free access to our entire back catalogue of episodes when you join. So you can binge it without paying a cent. Just head over to patreon.com/dropshippodcast. And just as a note, you can find the links to both of those resources below in the show notes. Now let's dive back into the show.
That store, your first store, was that the store that you had for the longest, or did you start another
No, that store was called Super RC Shop, selling remote controlled cars and drones and all kinds of that kind of stuff. And I just didn't know how to make it profitable. I think it was the suppliers weren't great, and I didn't really know how to get in with better suppliers with better margins. And anyway, I worked on that for like a year and a half total. And that hurts, like deciding to shut this down and then start over, like, oh crap, you know. But I had a mastermind, and the guys kind of like talked to me pretty sternly, like, dude, this isn't gonna work, so stop banging your head. And I was like, but there's all these things I haven't tried, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. They're like, just let it go, man. Yeah. That's how it goes.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's tough letting something like that go when you've put so much energy into it. Because your first time you do this, I mean, it really feels like a lot of time and energy, right? And I think it's pretty tough to swallow that it's not working for you and whatever, and actually take action on that and cut it off.
And you've convinced your wife to quit her job and sell the condo and move across the country and live with your parents.
That's
life.
Yeah, totally. So you moved on from that one, obviously, to another store. And was there anything? So I think sort of people who might be listening to this that are just starting out themselves, was there anything you did differently when you started that second store? I mean, you obviously are making you think back a while here, but because obviously that one ended up being more successful for you, and you know, all that sort of thing. Do you think that there was anything that you did differently that in your approach to that one that you would, you know, use as maybe advice for somebody who's just starting out?
I don't know, man. The thing that I've learned over time, and I guess we'll get to this later, but this really kind of applies here. I've learned that there's some things that I'm good at and some things that I'm not. And what we're talking about here is finding product market fit. And if those listening are like not really in the business world and this is their first time thinking about business, like that's actually a really big deal, product market fit. And it requires how I described it is like, you can make anything work. I believe that you can, anything or nearly anything, but like there are so many variables with their own dials, and it's like an old fashioned radio. Like you turn it and it gets fuzzy and fuzzy and fuzzy, and then it's a little clearer, and then you turn it past and it's fuzzier and fuzzier and fuzzier. And I kind of see it like there's like 6 or 8 or 10 or maybe even 100 of these dials that you need to get within a certain kind of range. It doesn't have to be right in the middle, but like pointing up. And, but they all have to be, or at least enough of them have to be pointing up at the same time. And like, to me, that's like it still is, even all these years later, is like a guessing game. And I don't know if I'm never going to start another dropshipping store, because like I don't even think I could do that. Like, maybe I could pay for your coaching or, you know, somebody to guide me. But like, I don't like that part. And it's not for me. Yep. I know that some people are really good at what I call the mechanisms of a marketplace.
Yep.
And some people are really good at that. I'm not. I'm better at like building the team and the, you know, finance and stuff like that. So what did I do differently? I don't know. I just tried something different. And that, even that failed. Like I started this store called Aria Chairs. It's still in existence. You can look it up if you want. A-R-I-A. I sold that in 2019. I started out like that was supposed to be a massage chair, like a chair that massages you kind of store. And I tried, I couldn't get any sales. So I was like, okay, crap, try something else. I have this website that looks nice. It has the word chairs in the URL. So let's try some other types of chairs. And I tried home theater chairs. I tried living room furniture. I tried like all these things. Just made no headway. And then I've told you this before, but the listeners haven't heard this. But like, again, my mastermind guys were like, dude, you're just like spinning your wheels here. You got to set yourself a time limit. And so I'm like, okay, crap. Okay. 2 weeks to get a good profitable sale. So during my research of all these chairs, I had seen this massage chair that was called a pedicure chair. I'd never heard of such a thing. Apparently there are nail salons in this world and people go get pedicures and manicures. I've never been in one. I've never seen that they have special things, but there's this thing called a pedicure chair and they usually have massagers in them. So I called the supplier and got an account and listed a product and like, boom, it sold. And it was like $3,000 or $5,000 or something. Nice. Like, holy crap. And the profit on that was like $1,000. And so I was like, I guess I'm doing this now.
Yep.
So wow.
Awesome.
I mean, the dials had, I mean, I just rolled the dice enough times and I got the right number and it worked. That's kind of how I see it.
Yeah. But I think that's really important, right? I mean, I don't want to miss that as a thing. I mean, you know, like you've just kind of talked about the start of your journey, and I mean you've been in it for 8 years now, or nearly 8 years or whatever, and you know, things didn't go that smoothly. I mean the experience you just walked me through with your first businesses, I mean there's obviously a number of points there that would have been quite painful for you. Yeah. Particularly given, you know, you convinced your wife to quit her job, sell your condo and move, and all that sort of thing, like the sense of things not working out, you know, I mean, would have been quite a lot of pressure there. But I think, you know, if you're listening to this once again and you're early in your journey, I mean, you didn't give up. You kept trying different things, right? And I think, you know, people ask all the time, like, why do dropshipping businesses fail? Or why do this? Why do people fail at this? And it's, for me, my answer to that is almost always that they have a journey like yours, or like yours started out, or they have a store, like even like Aria Chairs, and the first thing they try doesn't work out. And so they automatically think, well, the whole thing doesn't work. The business model doesn't work. I'm going to quit and go and do something else. And almost not always, because there are circumstances where, you know, there is a bad, you know, it's not a great set of products to sell or something's wrong, but, you know, if you're not like prepared to push past that block, then it's not going to work. And people expect that it's some magical thing that if I say, oh, well, if you just do this, you won't fail. But it's kind of like, it's the role that you're you know, your thinking and your willingness to push through those things plays is like one of the ultimate things to that's going to improve your chances of success. Sounds really simple, obviously. It's not, but
I'm sure you've seen enough people through your coaching programs trying probably every niche you can imagine by now, and you've seen some of them fail them and some of them have success in that same niche. Yeah. And it's like, so, and I see that too. Like I know a fact there are more than one drop shipping stores that are very successful selling the massage chairs that I couldn't get to work.
Yep.
I know that because I've seen them.
Yes.
And like, why didn't it work for me? I don't know. Maybe I wasn't willing to put in. I think for that kind of a thing, you have to really double down on your like educating the customer, and you have to really be better. It's not just a, you know, list this product at this price, get it on Google Shopping and you'll make millions kind of thing. And I didn't know that, or I didn't have the patience for it, or what. It didn't work for me, but it works for some.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and you're absolutely right. I don't think there's anything there's very few times where somebody says I'm selling this thing and I'm like, oh yeah, right. I've never actually heard that before. It did happen the other day. It's like,
oh,
finally, I've heard it. I've heard something I've never heard of somebody doing, or I've never thought of myself. I was like amazed. It was great.
You'll have to tell me that when we stop recording.
Yeah. I'm not going to give that away. You know, that person doesn't need 30 new competitors tomorrow, but, but you're right. I mean, the amount of times I've seen like five people that have come to me for help, and one of them is doing like millions of dollars a year in sales, and the other four are doing like 5,000 a month or something like that, and really struggling with it. They're selling the same products. They started in the same place essentially. And what's the difference? And look, a lot of the time it just is that the person that's doing really well, I mean, they just do more, or they're more prepared to do more. They're more prepared to educate themselves. They're more committed. You know, when they learn something that they need to do, they just take action straight away and get it done. Instead of, kind of dithering around and humming and hawing about doing it. And for like, it's never that they're the like super smart, or they're really intelligent, or they've got some thing going for them that the other people couldn't develop or couldn't have. It's just that they're more willing to actually be there and do it. Do you know what I mean?
I've been thinking about this, and I've learned something more recently that I think actually now that you're saying that makes a difference. And I think it's personality. Mm. Like I was saying earlier, I've learned there's some things that I'm not good at and some things that I am good at. And what I've learned is I'm not really very good at completing tasks and checking things off the list kind of a thing, but my wife is, and what I am good at is coming up with some big grand vision that's going to go in some exciting direction and saying, hey guys, let's all do this. And they're like, yeah, awesome. All right. Like, you know, so, mm-hmm. so like there are certain situations that I will thrive in and others that I won't. And I think that's probably, I'm guessing that's what a lot of this comes down to is starting a dropshipping store on your own by yourself. There's just things you need to do, like you're alluding to. And, you got to get them done. Otherwise, you're not going to have success. And so you can either force yourself, or you can partner with someone who is good at those things, or you can hire people, or who knows what, but those things need to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And I mean, there's always things it's kind of, you know, the evolution of the journey is you find that you start to realize the things that you are good at and the things that you hate and the things, all of that sort of stuff. And yeah, I think what a lot of people run into is that they don't do those things, like finding the solution to the things they don't like, you know, and they don't, you know, hire somebody or do whatever, have a partner or whatever it is. And so they just focus on the things that they love. And that can often be one of the roadblocks for people. You know what I mean? Like one of those differences between the people who are really successful and the people who are not, you know, who are selling the same things, is that sometimes it is the person who's doing really well found a way to get those things done. Yeah. And those things, like whether they made a team, and, you know, I think of some of the most successful people I know in this space, they all have, you know, a good team that's supporting them in some way and doing the things that they shouldn't or don't want to be doing. Cool. So you had that second business, which, you know, you found some products there that started to sell for you. But you mentioned a bit earlier that you ended up selling that business in 2019, I think you mentioned. Why? Why?
Like, well, Coach John, he told me to sell it.
things were doing better, obviously, than how they started with that store. And I mean, obviously, I think thinking back to it, and yeah, you're right, we talked back then a few times about your business, and, you know, I remember you had things to work on and that sort of thing, but, you know, you weren't doing terribly or anything like that. You were making sales and that sort of thing. Why sell it? And it's a good question, and this is a question a lot of people come across at some point in time with their high ticket dropshipping business. I mean, everybody knows if you build a business and it's going okay, it becomes an asset that you can sell. Why did you take that choice? Why not keep running it and growing it?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people have that as a goal, and I did. I knew I wanted to at some point. And yeah, that store, like I said, I got that first sale. That was great. And I got more sales. That was great. But you know, there's ups and downs. And sometime, I guess I was doing great. I felt like I was doing great for the first 2 years in that store. And then in 2018, it started to really take a pretty steep decline, and I didn't really understand why. And after month of this, I start to panic, and I think I had just hired a great VA team member. I don't even like that word anymore. It makes me cringe a little. But yep. That's what I thought of. That's how I thought of the team back then. And now suddenly I have to pay her. And if I don't make money this month, that's got to come from somewhere. And actually, that was after some other VAs that didn't work out very well. But anyway, yeah, 2018 was really, really rough. And so I was really not feeling good about myself. Like, oh, great. Now this is like 4 years into entrepreneurship. And like, look, what do I have? It felt like it was nothing at the time. And so I reached out to people. I reached out to you. We had a call. And I remember you just said, hey, well, why don't you sell it? I was like, oh, dang it. Yeah, you're right. And your point was, if you let it go to zero, it's going to go to zero and you'll get nothing. So you might as well get something for it. I was like, yeah, you're right. But there is a happy ending, and that sales slump did turn around because I just, you know, I panicked and I did everything, you know, like I did all the things. And I got new products on board. I revived old products by doing some product listing optimizing. I dove back into the Google Ads and all of that stuff. And sure enough, it took off again. And the lesson, here's the lesson, if you're looking for a lesson, I spent so much time in the previous year doing all these things, like great new idea, let's do content, but I don't know how to do content. So I'm going to spend months and months trying to figure this out. All the while kind of neglecting what made the business work in the first place. Because eventually, you know, I don't control what the market wants, and some products are great for a while and then people stop wanting those. And yeah, maybe they'll come back, maybe they won't, but you know, you can't keep your eye off the thing that makes you money. And that's what I did for a year, basically. And, you know, I had built up some, you know, I felt very successful, in 2017. And then a year of neglect, produces roughly half a year of failure is what it felt like to me. The other thing, and this is why I guess that transitions a little bit into what I'm doing now. The other thing that really made a big difference was knowing my numbers. And I didn't really know how all the numbers worked. And once I actually figured it out, again, in my panic, like I got to just figure all this out. And when I did finally see what was really going on, it actually wasn't as bad as I thought it was. So I felt like the business was going to zero, but it was still doing fine. The sales were dropping, but I was getting a little better each month on my profitability. And over time, you know, less sales with higher margins means you're still making okay profit. And in fact, it's a lot less work, less orders to fulfill, that sort of thing. And so, you know, you combine that knowledge. That, by the way, was so freeing and just like, what a relief. Oh my gosh. Combine that with, you know, new trajectory with all those scrambling things I did. And the store, I had like record sales the month I listed for sale. And so, you know, that was great.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. And so you sold that one, obviously. And I'm not going to ask you what you sold it for, but let's say it was a tidy sum of money.
It felt good.
Yeah. It felt good, right? Because I mean, I remember back to the conversation we had, and I got the sense that you were pretty unhappy at that point in time.
Yeah.
Where we talked
Plus
about selling
I hated
it
and, my niche.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm not at all, I've never even been in a nail salon. You know, I'm not at all interested in this.
Yeah.
After 4 years, we're kind of ready for something else. Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
No, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. Now so you sold it. And I remember you saying that when we were talking just before, you were saying, I'm never going to do high ticket dropshipping again, or I'm never going to start a high ticket dropshipping business again. You didn't do that. So, you know, opposed to me, I mean, you know, I sold my first business and similarly made a nice chunk of money. I've kind of stayed in that space though.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you've kind of took a fairly, from my perspective, unpredictable swerve in your journey from the high ticket dropshipping. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah. Unpredictable, if you ask me too. You know, the one thing that, you know, it's a whole process of learning yourself, learning about what you like and what you're good at and really doing more of that. And, you know, after like 5 years or whatever it was at the time of doing drop shipping, you know, I was doing all right. And, but I was ready for something different. And I just really like being around people. I'm not like a super extrovert, but I like feeling like I'm helping someone. And so, you know, I actually took time off after I sold that business and like think about what I'm going to do next. And I couldn't help myself. I wanted to force myself to spend like a month on the couch or something, but I just couldn't do it. And I was like, 3 days in, I'm like, I wonder what's going on in the different forums and Facebook groups and stuff. And I'm like, chatting people up. Hey, what are you guys up to?
couldn't switch it off. Could yeah. you?
No, I mean, because it's, you know, it's fun. Doing things with people. And so, you know, I can't overestimate how profound knowing my numbers really was. And I mean, cause it made such a difference of like, I feel like a failure to, hey, I'm not such a failure. Like that's the big of a difference. That's what it meant to me. And so like, I just started chatting with people and talking to them and saying, hey, I got this thing worked out. And anyway, I helped some people and they were like, whoa, this is awesome. And so eventually that led to becoming a service. I was like, okay, I'm going to start a bookkeeping business. Now, I'm not at all really like a numbers guy. I mean, as weird as that sounds coming from me, but I understand e-commerce and I understand entrepreneurs and I understand what this means. And as long as I understand these things, I feel like I can do anything. It started out with a spreadsheet that I created and I was just doing this for other people. They were paying me. And then eventually that spreadsheet didn't work out. So I was like, okay, panic. Right. But the point is an entrepreneur just goes and does something and then finds the point at which it doesn't work. And then you solve that problem. So that's what I did. I found a partner who's has all of the knowledge and the background and finance that I don't have. And I put him in charge. I mean, that's not really the nicest way of saying it, but essentially, you know, we're partners now. He has that knowledge. I have other knowledge together. I mean, there's nobody else who can do e-commerce bookkeeping and finance and CFO like we can, you know? So that's what we did.
Yeah, it's crazy. I love it. Such an unpredictable thing from high ticket dropshipping yeah. to, you know, bookkeeping and helping people with their finances. I mean, that's, you know, I love it because I think it's something that people don't think about when they start their, you know, first online business is that, you know, that journey and it truly is a journey. I mean, it can take you in a lot of different places. And I think it's like, and you find that you'll discover things often that you love or you really enjoy doing that are not what you first thought you were going to love and enjoy doing. You know, when I first started my first business, if you had told me, well, 7-8 years later, you're going to be teaching people in a course to do something or coaching yeah. people or whatever, I would have said, no, I don't see that, right? Yeah. I don't even know how that business works. Like, I can't do that. I probably would have said I couldn't do that. And yet here we are and it's something I really enjoy doing, which I discovered along the way that I love helping people to grow their businesses, right? Yeah. And to go through that same amazing life, you know, sort of transformation that I went through. And so I spend a lot of my time doing that now. And obviously a similar thing with you. And I think it's really important for someone, if you're in your journey right now, is to, I think you really got to pay attention to, there'll be cues along the way where you discover something that really lights you up or, you know, you're really passionate about. Lean into that. Like, even if it's not on the journey that you imagined you were going to take in the beginning, like when you find those things, it's really important, I think, to lean into that, like have a go, see where that leads as well. And if it takes you on a completely unexpected course, that's okay. That's, to me, that's like some of the most exciting things when that happens. It's like, totally. I don't know. I'm a person that deals well with risk and like not like going yeah. down a path where I don't know where it's going. I know yeah. for some people that's a really, like for my wife, that's a massive freak out moment, but I love it, man. I love it.
You know, and I got to say something about this too. Like, you know, there's this whole narrative of find your passion. That's such crap. Like, it's just the dumbest thing. Like, you know, like, if I were looking for my passion, would I have started a drop shipping store that sold pedicure chairs? No. Mm. Would I have started a bookkeeping business? No. But what I found out along the way, you know, you just start doing things, you know, like stop like laying around moaning on the couch and going like, oh, I don't know what I love. Well, how are you going to find out if you're just sitting there? So go yeah. do something. You'll find out if you like it or not. And chances are some of it you're going to like and some of it you're not going to like. Like there are some things in drop shipping that I really like and I was good at that. So like I said, I probably will never start another store, but I'm really good at some other things. And, you know, like I'm definitely open to, you know, doing a partnership where I can add value on the things that I'm good at and other people can do these things that I hate or I'm not good at. You know, you just do things and you find out, oh, I like that or I'm good at that. And you do more of those. And like these days in the bookkeeping business, like, dude, we've got a team of 9 now. It's crazy.
Awesome.
And it's super, super cool. Like amazing, talented, wonderful, people, driven people. And like, I've lately just kind of stopped. I kind of stopped doing almost all tasks, like quote unquote tasks. Although I've picked up some more responsibility again lately, but, cause we're doing some new things, but you know, it was a little bit scary and I felt like I'm just sitting around not doing anything. I kind of felt like that. But you know what? That allowed me then to have more conversations that led to other types of collaborations and like, and that's the kind of thing that lights me up, gets me excited, and I can do that. And I make a really big impact when I do that. And so like, yeah, I mean, so I've just decided, you know, I'm going to lean in and then keep leaning in and then keep leaning in on just the things that I am good at.
Yeah.
And that I like.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. The just do something thing. I mean, it's such a big thing. I love that. Like don't just sit on the couch. Like, yeah, I'm 100% with you. The find your passion thing. You can't start there because most people don't know what it is. Like, how do you find a passion? You can't find a passion without doing something. So it's kind of like chicken and egg, right? If you're sitting there looking for your passion, you can't know that something's your passion until you've actually done it. But so you can't choose that thing before you've done it sort of thing to know it's your passion. So you just have to start somewhere. Just pick something. Literally, honestly, there are, you know, look, I mean, obviously we talk about dropshipping a lot on this podcast. We recommend people start there, but there are many other online businesses and even outside of online business, other businesses that work fantastically. Just pick one. You know, do a bit of research, find what you think might work for you, but don't expect to know that it will work for you or that it will be the thing you love, but take comfort in knowing that once you get started, you're going to start to find things that you love. And your journey, it's okay if your journey takes little twists and turns and ends up down the track somewhere you completely didn't expect it to. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. A lot of people freak out that when they're diverging from their original plan. But the reality is in the beginning, you don't know shit. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know anything. Once again, that's okay. That's the way it is. So you have no ability to predict where you're going to be in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and so on. That's the fun part. That's the excitement.
That's the adventure, man.
That's the adventure. Yeah. Life's got to be an adventure, man.
Yeah. I realized that I wrote down. So I journal kind of off and on, and especially, you know, towards the beginning of the year. And I wrote, like, I don't know, 2 years ago now, 3 years, anyway, I wrote, like, cause this is a weird thing. It's a weird thing to admit. When I started this entrepreneurship journey, I told everybody it was so that I could spend more time with my family. And I thought I believed that. But you know what? Like, while that is true, I have learned over time that that's not the primary motivator for me. The primary motivator for me, I think, unless I figure something else out in the future, I have learned it's just going on adventure. Doing exciting things with awesome people. That's really it. And I'm not like a rock climber or anything like that. So to me, a big part of the adventure is the business part of it, and doing something new, unexpected, with a cool person, you know, like that's, I love it.
Yep. Absolutely. That's awesome. Cool, man. So tell us a bit about what you're doing now. Summit E-commerce Advisors. Yeah. What is it? How do you help people? What's the story now in this unexpected place you found yourself in?
Yeah. Well, that's what I started. When I went on this new adventure, I brought on a partner, who is actually local here in Portland, Oregon. Mm-hmm. And we met at one of those entrepreneur meetups, and, so together we do, e-commerce. We focus on e-commerce. We do bookkeeping. We do virtual CFO level services. So, you know, goes back to that, you know, concept. I didn't know my numbers, and it really caused me a lot of emotional pain. You know, like, I mean, sure, there's a financial problems that you can get yourself into, but I think most people don't realize really what it does on your psyche when you are just in a world of chaos. And when you actually know your numbers, there's a certain level of calm, level-headedness that you can have that you can't have if you don't. And so that's what we focus on. I mean, that's one of the things we focus on. Actually, remember adventure, right? So we actually have a mission, and our mission is to double the profits of 1,000 e-commerce companies, which is like super cool. So, you know, I always say, if you want to do 2x, right, you first have to know what your 1x is, because otherwise you can't even set that goal, right? It's math. So, you know, that's where bookkeeping comes in. Of course, you know, other things that we can do help to grow the business. We've actually also gotten into helping people do recruiting. And because, like I said, I think if there is one area that I'm the best, what I'm best at is probably team building and recruiting and maintaining the team, you know, making sure they're happy. And so we've been helping people do that as well. And we have a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome, man. And I think those are two of the sort of, unsung heroes of successful e-commerce businesses is understanding, like, being on top of your finances and where your money's going, whether it's in or out, and, you know, being able to put together, you know, the right team of people to help you grow your business. Like, you know, if you're somebody who has, you know, who is aiming towards building a big sustainable business, like, those literally must be two things that you figure out somehow, whether you do it yourself, whether you hire somebody to help you with it, like, whatever. They're huge. Absolutely huge, but not the sexy things that people like to talk about. You know, everybody wants to talk about ads and marketing and, you know, conversions and all that sort of stuff. And that stuff's great. But if you don't know what you're spending money on, or you don't understand when you're profitable and when you're not, like, your marketing's going to fall apart at some point, big time. And I've learned that myself, you know, firsthand experience. And most people are not good with understanding money stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you're not taught that anywhere in life. You're not taught that how to do it at school. Your parents probably didn't teach you that. Some lucky people, they probably did. But most people, you don't know this. You need to learn it, or you need to get help with it, or whatever, to get on top of it the first time. So, yeah, if you're listening and you're sitting there and, you know, you think this is a problem for you, do something about it. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I guess I could give a few practical tips, because I know those questions are going to come. So there's a wide range of people who are probably listening. Some are like just getting started. Others are doing pretty well. So if you're just getting started, really you need to focus on making sure you have your sales are profitable. So you have good suppliers with good margins. And you can just use a spreadsheet for that. But at a certain point, you do need to become a little bit more, I guess, robust in your finance savvy. And, when that point is hard to say. Some people want to do it right from the start. Others are fine living in a mess for a while. I can't say what that is for you, but, don't bother with all these weirdo softwares like Wave. Wave is just going to cause you problems later. So the two that I recommend are Xero and QuickBooks. And here's what you don't want to do. You do not want to connect those directly to Shopify, because it'll suck in all kinds of data, just make an incredible mess. It's not going to work. What we do is we use another tool along with those called A2X. And that will connect to Shopify and Amazon and wherever else, eBay, I think, and Walmart and all these places. And it'll bring in just the right information that you need. So Xero or QuickBooks and A2X. If you get those, that's where you're going to want to be. The other thing is, if you don't like doing the books, you probably should have a bookkeeper do it. The problem is, it's hard to know who's a good bookkeeper and who's not. And I wish I, aside from just pitching myself, I wish I had a better way of letting you know how to validate bookkeepers. But I just don't have an easy way of explaining that. But, you know, understand that it's not going to be $100 or $200 a month. If those are the prices people are quoting you, it's going to be garbage work. And if you are going to sell your business one day, which I think most people would like to, you know, when you get there, the broker is going to say, this is crap. We can't use this. Go away. And I'm not kidding. Like, that's really what those conversations are like. And so then you've got to fix it. So, what I would recommend is, you know, either do it yourself, or, you know, just pay more than a couple hundred bucks a month. Or, you know, you can, actually, one service that we're just thinking of offering now, because I realize they're not ready to pay us, you know, every month, is like somebody like us, if you want to come talk to us, we can get you set up for like a one-time fee, and we can show you, okay, here's what you can do each month so that you're doing this right. So that's probably the happy medium for someone who's kind of on the earlier end of that.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And look, if people want to join or thinking about joining Dropship Breakthrough, our high ticket dropshipping program, Isaac actually teaches some of this stuff in the course. So you get a couple of modules of bookkeeping, both beginner and a little bit more advanced goodness directly from Isaac as your instructor in the program there. But look, I'll cut straight to it. Like, if you're listening and you think you need help with this, get in touch with Isaac. Seriously. These guys, there are almost nobody in this space who specializes in e-commerce and particularly has first-hand experience with high-ticket dropshipping. High-ticket dropshipping, there is nobody else. Isaac won't say it himself, but I will absolutely tell you, get in touch with them. I wouldn't recommend anybody else to do this. And I've not come across anybody else that I know of in 7 years that actually specializes in our particular field. So 100%. So it's about the strongest recommendation I give for anybody because, you know, they do good work and you literally don't have any other options. So
that's exactly where I want to be.
I don't want to lead with that as your selling point. There is no other, we're the only guys, there's no one else. But it's good work. I've seen it firsthand. So highly recommend it. And like we have many students of our program who use Isaac's service. And so I get the feedback there as well. That it's fantastic. So please get in touch with them. Speaking of, if somebody's listening and they want to get in touch with you, Isaac, or get in touch with Summit, where do they go? How do they do that?
Well, I appreciate that. Those are kind words. I'm happy to chat. You can get in touch with me. I'll give you my email address. You can go to our website too. The website is summitecommerce.co. And my email is isaac@summitecommerce.co. Spelling, my name is very often misspelled, so it's ISAAC. So yes, send me an email if you want to chat. I'm always happy to help. I do a podcast, a lot of times people get in touch with me and they're just starting out and sometimes I go like, well, you know, here's what you can do, but I really can't help you because you don't have the budget to pay us right now. So I got kind of tired of those conversations, which is why I really do want to help. And which is why we're now going to be offering that kind of like get you started service. So that at least hopefully we can help everybody now.
Absolutely. That's awesome. And we'll put some links to Isaac's stuff in the show notes as well. So you can find the direct links there to what Isaac has going on. Well, man, thank you very much for coming on the show. Your story is still one of my favorite ones. I think it's such a fantastic example of where, where starting your online journey can take you. And like the adventure. It's a fantastic adventure. I love it. It's great. So thank you very much for sharing that with us.
Well, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me. I'm always, these things are always fun. So thanks for having me.
Awesome. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in and stay tuned next week for another episode of the Dropship Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business. John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. Not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out The Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.